As we just heard in the gospel, today, this Sunday, commemorates the presentation of the Lord. It's the day in which Jesus was dedicated to the temple. The Jewish custom was that 40 days after a child's birth, the oldest son had to be dedicated to the temple. So today is actually 40 days after Christmas. And we celebrate the day in which Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be presented in the temple. This tradition goes back to the time of Moses. It was in the law of Moses. And the reason for it was that when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and God gave the plagues in order to liberate the Israelites out of Egypt, the last one was the death of the oldest son, and also the oldest livestock, the oldest animals. And after the Israelites were freed from Egypt, God said, because of this plague, because of the evil thing that happened, that now the oldest son has to be dedicated. From here on out, the Israelites practiced that the oldest son had to be dedicated in remembrance of the liberation from Egypt. In looking at the story, there's a couple unique things that we can see about Mary and Joseph. The first is obviously their faithfulness, that they were practicing, they were observant Jews. They practiced their faith very devoutly. On the 40th day, they did what the custom was and dedicated their son. Another interesting thing, which I think most of us kind of assume, but that Mary and Joseph didn't have a lot of money. In pictures that we see of them, you know, maybe they have ragged clothes, you know, but we don't really know. Maybe Joseph had a gigantic carpentry company. We don't know. But it says something really interesting in the gospel, that they were only able to offer two doves as their sacrifice. The local custom was to give a lamb, but they couldn't afford it. So the understanding that Mary and Joseph, that even in their poverty, still gave to the temple in honor of Jesus being dedicated. So the story is Mary and Joseph come into the temple, and there's this man, Simeon. Scripture describes Simeon as a holy and righteous man. He was a man who understood the Holy Spirit, and it was communicated to him through the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Christ, until he saw the Messiah, that he wouldn't die until this happened. And he was a very righteous man. He was an incredibly faithful man who every single day went to the temple expecting to see the Messiah. Every single day he went to the temple expecting to see the Messiah. And when Mary and Joseph came in, without any introduction, he goes up to the child and he prophesizes these great things about him. He says, this is a light to the Gentiles. This is the glory of the people of Israel. And he says some also troubling things, that Jesus is going to be a sign of contradiction, that not everyone is going to follow him, and that also a sword is going to pierce his mother's heart. He was prefiguring Jesus' death already at his birth. So you can imagine what Mary and Joseph were experiencing. This wasn't the first time. This is 40 days, just over a month from their child's birth. And this has happened three big times to them. First with the shepherds, these random people who come into the field who say that angels spoke to them about their son. The second one with the magi, these great wise men came from far distant from distant lands to come and see this person. And then they come into the temple, and this right, holy, righteous man is prophesying about their son. So you can imagine what Mary and Joseph are going through, kind of understanding, how are we going to do this? What is going to happen with this child? In the first reading, it comes from Malachi, which is one of the last books of the Old Testament. It kind of speaks of the importance of the presentation. Malachi speaks of how the temple was empty. For the longest time, the temple, we had these big synagogues, one temple, and there wasn't any presence of God in it. We had things which would remind them of God, right? So during a time, they had the Ten Commandments, but those were lost in the Babylonian exile. The Ten Commandments were not God, but they represented God's action in their salvation. It'd be like having all these big, beautiful churches, which we have right now, without the Eucharist. If it wasn't for the Eucharist, who cares about this marble? Who cares about this gold? Who cares about any of this if it wasn't for the Eucharist? That's the entire point. but that's what they had, because they had the expectation that they were going to get God, that they were going to get the Eucharist. And then Jesus comes. The presence of God is finally in the temple. So what does it mean for us who, for our entire lives, have had the Eucharist? We've had the presence of God our entire lives. What does this mean for us? The two things that stick out is, one, the prayer of Simeon. This prayer, which he says, is a prayer that the priest, all priests, have to say every single night before they go to bed. We have a night prayer, and we have to say this prayer of Simeon. Simeon was a devout, righteous man. He prayed his entire life to see God, to be able to point out God in the lives of other people. And his prayer is, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He's been praying his entire life for this to happen, that Jesus is a light to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the people who are not Jewish. For us, Jesus coming into the temple is a light to the Gentiles. At our birth, we're given a candle. It is supposed to be the light of God within our life, that we ourselves, for the most part, we're not Jewish. Jesus came to save us as well. He is our light. But then he's also the glory of the people Israel. So he's for all the people who are not Jewish, but then also for these Jewish people, these Israelites, these people who Jesus, who God, has been preparing for centuries, for hundreds of years. He's been preparing these people for this moment. And Jesus is their glory. He's the glory of the people of Israel. So for us, it's very good for us to remember that Jesus is our light. He's the one who's brought us into this salvation. And if we think, you know, we have always had the presence of God in our churches, in our lifetime, it's very important for us to take the examples of Simeon and Anna. Anna was this prophetess. It said in the gospel that she went to the temple every single day to pray. Simeon and Anna went to the temple every single day to pray for the Messiah. This intention that they had to be able to see God before they died was a very good and righteous intention. Oftentimes, we ourselves have good and righteous prayers. Some of our prayers may be that I'm able to overcome this sin, that maybe someone in my family who has left the church will come back. Or maybe there's something in the church's teaching that I'm really struggling with believing, and I'm praying for an enlightenment to this. All those things are good. It is good to be able to overcome this sin. It is good for our family members to be able to come back. It is good for us to be able to understand the teaching more. In Simeon and Anna's case, it was good for them to pray to be able to see God. Those are all good intentions. But unlike Simeon and Anna, oftentimes I find myself, when I pray for these particular things, I find myself becoming discouraged that after a month or a couple weeks of praying, I'll say to myself, God's not hearing this. He doesn't want to answer this prayer. When in reality, I know that it's good intention. It is a good intention. But the fact that I'm not seeing it, or the fact that I don't think it's being answered, I have the understanding God doesn't care. He's not listening. But what did Simeon and Anna do? Every single day, they went to the temple and prayed. Every single day. Anna and Simeon were at the end of their lives. Both of them were very advanced in years. And every single day they went to the temple. That means thousands of days, they went to the temple with the same intention. And then at the end of their life, it was granted to them. It'd be like us, our entire lives, 60 years, we're praying for somebody to come back to the church for 60 years. And then at the end of our life, they come back. We can experience frustration in prayer when we demand to know why God isn't answering this. We want to know when our prayer is going to be answered, and we want to know how it's going to be answered. And in reality, God may say, you're not ready right now. Simeon, you are a holy and righteous man, but you're not ready right now. You need to wait your entire life and pray for this. Anna, same with you. The persistence in your prayer will make you holy in this. and for some reason, at the end of their life, it was granted to them. Whatever that time is, or however it is answered, is perfect. We may not be able to understand it, but it's perfect. We need to have the faithfulness and the persistence of Simeon and Anna. They were faithful and they were persistent. That every single day they went to the church. Every single day they took time for prayer. Every single day they never gave up. If you ever think, did Mother Teresa become discouraged in prayer because her prayer wasn't answered? No. She had faith in God. She was persistent and she was faithful. So us, on the feast day of the presentation of the Lord, let us have the faithfulness and the persistence of Simeon and Anna. Let us understand that it is up to God. He's calling us to be faithful. That if we have that faithfulness, if we have that persistence, we will see our prayers answered, just like Simeon and Anna. We will be able to understand how the presence of God is in our church as it did come into the temple on that day. If we are faithful and persistent, we will come into greater communion with God.